Today I would like to speak to you about the magisterium of the Catholic Church. Much error has arisen concerning this subject since the modernists have become prevalent, and therefore I need to explain to you the truth and contrast it to the error that is so prevalent today. The term magisterium simply means teaching. It properly refers to the act of teaching, but also secondarily refers to what is being taught. So the act of teaching, that is primarily magisterium, but we also call the magisterium what in fact is taught. Those are two different things, the act and the content of the teaching. There are two types of magisterium. Now we are referring here to the act. That the first is the solemn or extraordinary. The second is the universal ordinary magisterium. So first, the solemn or extraordinary. This is teaching which is done with great solemnity by a pope or by a council in union with the pope. An example would be the great teachings and solemn teachings of the early councils concerning the divinity of Christ, the motherhood of the Blessed Virgin Mary. That was the Council of Ephesus, the Council of Nicaea, the Council of Chalcedon, the three councils of Constantinople. These made solemn statements concerning the divinity of Christ and other Christological matters. Also, the declaration concerning the Immaculate Conception and the Assumption. This is solemn magisterium. The universal ordinary magisterium is the teaching of the hierarchy of the Catholic Church, that is, the Pope and the bishops in communion with him, whether in council or dispersed throughout the world, it doesn't matter, concerning faith and morals. The only difference between the two is the manner in which it is done. The one being solemn, the other being ordinary. The solemn form is very rare and is recognizable by a certain use of language and even a certain use of ceremony, as when the Pope in solemn ceremony proclaims a dogma in St. Peter's Basilica. But the universal ordinary magisterium is something, Pope Pius XI said, happens every day. For it is the daily teaching of the Pope and bishops to the faithful. It happens when the Church preaches a revealed doctrine to the faithful, when it teaches this doctrine in its schools, when bishops publish this doctrine in their catechisms, and when the fathers of the Church, for example, St. Augustine, St. Jerome, St. John Chrysostom, the doctors of the Church and the theologians testify to the doctrine and explain it. It is the daily authoritative teaching of the Catholic Church concerning faith and morals. As a matter of fact, this solemn or the extraordinary form is not even comprehensible except in comparison to the daily ordinary teaching. Now, the First Vatican Council, which met in 1870, solemnly declared, "All those things must be believed by divine and Catholic faith which are contained in the written or handed down Word of God, and which are proposed by the Church to be believed as having been divinely revealed, either by its solemn judgment or by its universal and ordinary magisterium. Let us review that. It says that we must believe by divine and Catholic faith those things which are contained in Revelation and which are proposed by the Church as being divinely revealed, either by its solemn judgment or by its universal and ordinary magisterium. It is therefore saying that we must give the assent of divine and Catholic faith to the Church's teaching, which is done either by solemn judgment or by the universal and ordinary magisterium. That is a very important point. Divine faith means that adherence that we give to something that is revealed by God based on the authority of God revealing. Thus, we bow down before our Blessed Lord in the Holy Eucharist because God has told us that that is His body and is His blood. And when we adhere to something by divine faith, we adhere to it in a changeless manner. For what God reveals is changeless because He is changeless. And the truth of God does not fluctuate from age to age, but rather is immutable and infallible. And Catholic faith means it is the faith of the whole Catholic Church. And if you should deny it, you would be a heretic. So we must give this assent of divine and Catholic faith to what is proposed both by the solemn judgment and by the universal ordinary magisterium. Here are a few examples of what is taught by the universal and ordinary magisterium. Stealing is a sin. You can look through the great tomes of papal documents and you will not find a solemn judgment of the Church that stealing is a sin. Rather, it has been taught from age to age, it has been preached from the pulpits of the Catholic Church that stealing is a sin. That abortion is a sin. Again, you will not find a solemn papal pronouncement that abortion is a sin. It is part of the constant teaching of the Catholic Church. The fact that women cannot be ordained priests, that too is not the subject of some great papal pronouncement. That is the constant teaching of the Catholic Church. As a matter of fact, all of the doctrines of the Church up to the year 325 AD were believed without any solemn judgment. The Church merely preached and taught in an authoritative manner, and the faithful believed. It was not until the heretic Arius came along and became influential with his heresy concerning the divinity of Christ that the Church found it necessary to come together in council and declare solemnly against him. But as St. Augustine said, even before Nicaea, the Church was already treating as heretics those who were denying the divinity of Christ. And this is very important because the modern error is that all you really have to give the assent of faith to is the solemn teaching, whereas the universal ordinary teaching is something that is up for grabs. And that is simply not true. Pope Pius IX, who reigned from 1846 to 1870, declared, "Even when it is only a question of submission owed to divine faith, this cannot be limited merely to points defined by the express decrees of the ecumenical councils or of the Roman pontiffs and of this apostolic see. This submission must also be extended to all that has been handed down as divinely revealed by the ordinary teaching authority of the entire church spread over the whole world, and which, for this reason, Catholic theologians, with a universal and constant consent, regard as being of the faith." And Pope Pius XII, in responding to those who said that the encyclicals do not bind with authority, said this, "Nor must it be thought that what is expounded in encyclical letters does not of itself demand consent, since in writing such letters the Pope does not exercise the supreme power of his teaching authority. For these matters are taught with the ordinary teaching authority, of which it is true to say, 'He who heareth you, heareth me.'" Words of Christ. "And generally, what is expounded and inculcated in encyclical letters already for other reasons appertains to Catholic doctrine. But if the supreme pontiffs in their official documents purposely pass judgment on a matter up to that time under dispute, it is obvious that that matter, according to the mind and will of the same pontiffs, cannot be any longer considered a question open to discussion among theologians." So we have the testimony of the First Vatican Council that we must give the assent of faith to what is taught by the Universal Ordinary Magisterium. We have Pope Pius IX declaring this very same thing to us, and Pope Pius XII saying that that teaching is the equivalent of "He who heareth you, heareth me." That is, it is the teaching of the authority of Christ. And that's very important. In contrast to this, well, I should say first, the modernists, in order to free the human conscience of the teaching of the church, have been saying for even before the council, they have been spreading this idea that the only time that you have infallibility and where the assent of faith is necessary is where the Pope is teaching by a solemn decree like the Immaculate Conception or the Assumption. And that in the ordinary teaching, well, you can dissent. You should give a type of respect to it, but you can dissent. And that there is no question of the assent of faith to it. This is called Believing in Jesus, this book. This is the official book of the RCIA, which is the Rite of Christian Initiation of Adults in the Novus Ordo Church. It is handed to people who come to the Catholic Church with a pure heart, thinking that they are going to find Catholic doctrine and actually belong to the Catholic Church. So this is an official catechism handed out by the bishops in this country to Catholics, or to would-be Catholics. And this, on page 91, it talks about magisterium. The preceding paragraph talks about papal infallibility. This talks about magisterium. Obviously, there is another kind of teaching which does not fall within the strictly defined area of infallibility. This is called the ordinary teaching, magisterium of the church. In our day, this will usually be found in papal encyclicals, letters to the whole church on important matters. In recent decades, for instance, great emphasis has been placed on social justice in encyclicals from Leo XIII, Rerum Novarum, to Paul VI, Progress of Peoples. Paul VI also issued an important encyclical, Humanae Vitae, Human Life, which stated that the church's teaching on sexual morality, which stated the church's teaching on sexual morality in marriage. Next paragraph, Dissent, the title of the paragraph, Dissent. Humanae Vitae serves to focus on an agonizing problem that has arisen for many Catholics, one which cannot be swept under the rug. Usually the problem is seen as a conflict between two obligations. What then if a Catholic in good conscience, that is, after prayer, consultation, and serious deliberation, is unable before God to assent to an ordinary teaching of the church, such as on contraception? Contraception. Parentheses. This supposes that he or she has tried to be as open as possible to the teaching, has respected its weight and reasoning, its widespread acceptance, its history. Close parentheses. The Catholic in these circumstances assumes the serious responsibility of humble dissent. Obviously, we are not talking about mere whim or self-serving narrowness or still less sinful stubbornness. The agonizing nature of such decisions is often the fear of being guilty of precisely these faults. But it must be said that dissent in clear conscience is possible. In their commentary on Humanae Vitae, the American bishops took note of this real possibility. Archbishop John Quinn of San Francisco brought the matter into the open at the 1980 Synod in Rome. This is heresy. This is the very spirit of heresy, because the spirit of heresy is the rejection of the teaching authority of the Catholic Church. And this has explicitly rejected the teaching authority of the Catholic Church and tells these people who come to the Novus Ordo churches in the hopes of finding the true Catholic faith and in the hopes of joining the Roman Catholic Church that on a matter of contraception, which is a sin that is of the same nature as the unnatural sins, a sin for which Onan was struck dead in the Old Testament, a sin which has been condemned for all time by the Catholic Church, a sin against nature, a horrible sin, a mortal sin, that they can clear their consciences by dissent to the teaching of the Roman Catholic Church. They are heretics, these bishops, and John Paul too, with them are heretics. Heretics. They reject the teaching authority of the Roman Catholic Church, and it would be better that they had millstones tied around their necks and thrown into the sea than to give out this heresy to people who come to them in the hopes of learning the Roman Catholic faith, the faith which gives them eternal life and salvation. It should be clear to all of you, this is what they teach, in direct contradiction to what is taught by the Catholic Church. It is a heretic church. Heretics have invaded our Vatican and our chanceries, and they give us heresy. One final consideration, the term ex cathedra. You hear that term once in a while with regard to papal pronouncements. The proper pronunciation is ex cathedra. Ex cathedra, which means from the chair. The chair is a symbol of authority in the Catholic Church. The very word cathedral means that church which contains the chair of the bishop, the cathedra of the bishop. An ex cathedra or ex cathedra statement simply means one in which the authority of the Roman pontiff is used. But as we have seen from the declarations of the popes themselves, that authority may be used either in a solemn way or in an ordinary way. It is the same authority. He that heareth you heareth me. It is the authority of Christ. And one should not make a distinction between the ex cathedra as being the solemn and the only thing you really have to listen to versus the ordinary, which is not ex cathedra. It is like a judge. If a judge is in his chambers discussing a case, he is not speaking with authority. If he is on the bench with the gavel and he passes a sentence, he speaks with authority. So also the Pope may speak privately, or he may speak with authority. And when he speaks with authority, he is speaking ex cathedra. The conclusion of this all is, first, the rejection of the pernicious error of the modernists, which completely eradicate the teaching authority of the Church and reduce to a handful of dogmas what Catholics have to believe, like the Assumption or the Immaculate Conception, and yet they can be running around practicing birth control and think of themselves as Catholics doing this horrid sin and believing that it's okay. What a horrid error that is. It would also say that for the first 3 centuries of the Catholic Church, since there was no solemn pronouncement, you wouldn't have had to believe anything to be a Catholic. Nothing, not even the divinity of Christ, to be a Catholic, which is an absurdity. Second, we must understand from this that Vatican II lacks the authority of Christ because it is a body of bishops with someone who claimed to be the Pope, giving us doctrine which is contrary to the teaching of the Catholic Church. And because the authority of Christ is infallible, therefore, the teaching of the Church is infallible, and if this teaching of Vatican II contradicts the previous teaching of the Church, it is not the authority of Christ, it is not the authority of the Church. And no matter what sort of pretenses or appearances it may have of a true Catholic council, or whatever pretenses they may have of being the authority of the Catholic Church, they are not the authority of the Catholic Church because they have contradicted the teaching of the Catholic Church. That is the second thing to learn from this. And the third is that we must adhere with divine and Catholic faith to all of the teaching of the Roman Catholic Church, not only what is solemnly declared, but also which is taught every single day from the time of St. Peter to our present day, what is taught by the universal and ordinary teaching of the Catholic Church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.